Thank you, everyone, for joining in this conference call. We're going to give a brief review of our situation and our positions and what's happening. We had sent out an email a few days, I think yesterday, but we'll go through everything and we'll discuss it, and then what we'll do is open for questions and really honestly try to address the issues and the people's concerns. The first thing I wanted to say is that the, you know, RAPNET has been something, I think, very good for the industry. And we have done our best to open up markets, to give people an opportunity to deal directly with each other. So RAPNET is a vehicle that allows people not just to get pricing, or not just to sell stones, but really to get to know other people. It's a community. And I think this idea of RAPNET being a community of honest people, this is to me some of the most important values that we can have. In India, I remember 10, 12 years ago, we started with the GIA, and people thought, why make a GIA certificate? But then they realized that when they made these GIA certificates, they were able to sell their diamonds across the world easier and use RAPNET. And now we're doing auctions where we're recycling diamonds out of America. So the Rappaport Group is always trying to come up with new ideas and new ways and new opportunities for people to do business. And this is really a core idea that we want to do things that enable our clients to make money. Most often, a lot more money than we do, but that's fine. And we're not a normal company. We don't buy and sell diamonds for our own account, but we do create opportunities for everyone in the industry. Now, having said this, we now have to look at the situation that has come up with Merengue Diamonds. And we have to look at it realistically and honestly, and we have to say, well, what do we do about this? Well, one option is to do nothing. Say, well, people putting Merengue Diamonds up on the network, and these diamonds exist. No one is going to throw away Merengue Diamonds. No one is going to throw them in the garbage can. People are going to buy and sell Merengue Diamonds, and we have to be realistic about a lot of factors. Maybe some people in Merengue are employed. Maybe a lot of people in Surat are employed. And, you know, Rappaport can't tell the world how the world has to be. And we can't, you know, force people to be this way or that way. And I think that we have to recognize also, we have to be a little bit careful about our values and forcing other people to accept or to use our values. And we have to recognize that it's a free market space. Different people have different ideas about how they want to run their business. Different people have different moral, ethical, and legal standards. And so we have to look at the situation and say, well, what do we do with this problem or this issue? Now, you have to understand, everyone, it's a complicated issue. It's not something simple. And it's also a dangerous issue. And it presents challenges, and it presents opportunities. And so how is RAPNET, or how is Rappaport Group, or how are we going to deal with this thing? The first thing I want to say is to make it clear to everybody that while I might talk about different laws in America, and I may talk about different requirements at Rappaport, and I might talk about all kinds of restrictions and conditions and the way that RAPNET is going to work, this doesn't mean that I am judging people, and this doesn't mean that I am telling people what they can do outside of RAPNET. I mean, just consider if I had a veggie restaurant, and I'm in the Taj Hotel, and I have a veggie restaurant. So I tell my employees, I tell my guests, I tell my clients, don't bring meat, don't bring this into my restaurant. I have a veggie restaurant. Next door to me is a restaurant that's serving meat, and I don't control what people eat outside of my restaurant. But I do control what happens in my restaurant, what happens in my world. So first of all, I want to explain maybe a little background about what this Merengue situation is. We're talking, estimates tell me, about $1.2 billion a year of diamonds, maybe 15 to 20 million carats a year of diamonds coming through. That's a lot of diamonds. And we're also talking about a situation where we have three issues confronting us. We have a legal issue. There are people around the world, in the United States and in Europe, who legally cannot buy those diamonds. And there are laws, and I'll speak about those laws in a few minutes. There's a moral, ethical issue that some people say, whether they're right or wrong, whether you like them or you don't like them, they want to buy diamonds that are not from Merengue. They want to buy diamonds that are not involved with these problems. And it's their right as customers. Just like there's some customers that say, I want to buy excellent cuts. They didn't hurt anybody. They didn't kill anybody. They didn't say you can't have very good cut diamonds. They say, we want excellent. So I would say to you that there are a group of consumers in the world, maybe a lot of them, maybe a few of them, maybe only in certain countries, but there are consumers in the world who are socially conscious, who want to buy diamonds, not from a renminbi. And then there's the third issue, which is a reputational issue. And by reputation, I mean that if the diamond, or rapinet for that matter, becomes known to sell diamonds that are involved in things that people say are no good, like human rights abuses or legal problems, then people start to say, well, that's not a good place, I'm not going to go there. I mean, there's an interesting example of this, and I'll bring that out to you in a minute. So basically, there's three issues with Marengi. First of all, there's a legal issue. Second of all, there's a moral or ethical issue from our perspective, from Rappaport's perspective. I'm not telling other people how to be moral. I'm just saying from where I sit. And third of all, there is a reputational problem. Let me dig into these just a little bit. The legal issue is not more important than the ethical issue, but it's the first issue. And we have a very strange situation with the government of the United States and the government of the European Union. I'm more familiar with the government of the United States. And we wrote them a letter. We said, listen, what do we do about this? You may know that just last Thursday, I believe it was, the government of the United States, OFAC, which is the Office of Foreign Asset Control, it's the part of the American government that looks after the funding for terrorism. So it's the same, they have a list, and in that list are people from Al-Qaeda, and in the list are all kinds of people from, I guess, Syria, Gaddafi was on the list, all kinds of people, that the United States government says you're not allowed to deal with these people. And Mabada and I think Mereini Diamonds, two companies out there, were put on the list this past Thursday. So the American government, be it smart, be it stupid, I'm not here to judge anybody, says, do not buy diamonds from these places if you're an American citizen anywhere in the world. So if I'm an American and I have a company in India, and it's an Indian company, a fully Indian company, only Indians are working in Rappaport, India, but since it's owned by an American company, I'm not allowed to buy these diamonds. And this is an important point because it's dividing, it's forcing a division in the world of diamonds. And this division is a legal division where you go to jail if you knowingly violate it. And you know what's weird about this legal thing, when we talk to the OFAC people and we have a letter from them, and they gave us a very funny statement. They said, look, the way it works is this. If you know or have reason to know, very scary, reason to know, that these diamonds are coming to you directly or indirectly, in other words, they use two phrases, know or have reason to know, directly or indirectly. Because the way the government wants to deal with this financing for terrorism and what they consider these even Marengis in that list, is they know that everybody has tricks and that everybody will look for loopholes. So they say, if you know or have reason to. Which means that if I suspect someone, or I suspect a source of diamonds, I have reason to believe this source of diamonds is Marengi, as an American citizen, as an American diamond trading network, I can't facilitate the sale of those diamonds. Now, we're going to look at it carefully, we're going to ask them more questions, but it's pretty clear to me that it would be illegal for me personally, means I can go to jail personally, for the RAPNET system to take these diamonds from Marengi and offer them for sale on our network. And this is a number one legal problem for me, and I'm sorry for everybody. I don't want to hurt Indians. I don't want to hurt Indian diamond manufacturing. But I don't want to do anything that is illegal for me to do. That's number one. But I'll tell you something. It's not just the legal story. Besides the legal story, I'm looking at the world, and I'm seeing that there are consumers out there who want to buy non-Marengi diamonds, just like there are consumers that want to buy excellent cut diamonds. So I say to myself, hold it a minute. Here I have the American government pushing me in a certain direction. At same time, I think that there is an added value story here. There's a way to make more money for diamonds. Just like when you cut a diamond, you make it an excellent cut. It's worth more money. So too, if you have a diamond and you can give a reasonable, and I hesitate to use the word guarantee, assurance that the diamonds are not from Marengi or not involved in human rights abuses, I believe that if you can segregate those diamonds that way, you can sort of brand them, and then consumers will be willing to buy them at a higher price. So I'll say to you, listen, American government, you like it, you don't like it. There's a business issue here. And the business issue is, if we spend the money to separate, segregate
merengue diamonds for non-merengue diamonds, can we make more money from diamonds if we can say, give assurance they're not merengue? I may be wrong, but I believe we can make more money. Just like we can make more money for excellent cuts. Just like we can make more money for stones with GIA certificates than without GIA certificates. We can make more money from diamonds. Not me, Rappaport's not going to make more money, but diamond manufacturers and dealers and wholesalers can make more money if they spend the time and effort to separate these diamonds. And clearly, if that's the case, if you can make more money, then you'll do it. If you can't make more money, then you won't do it. I mean, I can't tell someone in Surat or in Mumbai, separate your goods because I'm forcing you to. If you don't make enough money, don't separate them. I can't force you in terms of what to do. Now, there is, of course, the opportunity for American companies and all the companies in Europe, particularly and especially the branding companies, which there are many companies now moving towards branding in the diamond jewelry sector, and even the stores are branded. So these people certainly don't want to have any problems with the U.S. government. They don't want to have any problems, and they'll certainly be willing to pay a little more money if they take reasonable, honest investigation of the diamonds coming from a good source. So, and that's a reason. Also, I said to myself, listen, don't get into trouble with laws. And also, create a better product. Add value to diamonds because they're on RapNet and because they're watched. One other point I need to make is the reputational risk. And that's a pretty big point, because it's sort of like you don't know what's going to happen. Everything chugs along very nice, so there's no problem. Then all of a sudden, one day, Global Witness or another NGO gets on there. They start attacking goods from Surat or from India or from Merengue, and they start pointing the finger. And then all of a sudden, millions of consumers around the world start to turn away from diamonds, particularly diamonds from Merengue or other places. And then it becomes too late, because once people get the idea that it's not good, it could be a problem. So there is an argument that says here, for reputational reasons, let's have a two-channel distribution system. Let's recognize the fact that there's going to be merengue diamonds, that people are going to cut them, and people are going to sell them, and people are going to sell them at a certain price. And let's also recognize that there's going to be another distribution channel, which is more controlled, which is more careful, which doesn't include merengue diamonds and other diamonds with human rights abuses. And those diamonds are going to sell for a higher price. And they're going to help us if the world becomes weird and people become, all kinds of reputational issues come up. We've saved ourselves. We have another channel that we can work with. It's always good to walk with 2 feet on the ground and not just one. And not to put all of the eggs of the industry in a basket, which is subject to reputational risk. Now, again, my personal views on this is that I wouldn't deal in merengue diamonds for a lot of my own personal, moral, and ethical reasons. I'm absolutely opposed to it. But I do not want to impose my personal values on everybody in the diamond industry. I remember speaking with the gurus in Surat a few months ago when I was in India, and I spoke to them about the issue, and they feel very strong about violence also and against this. But again, this is a decision that people make. I am not here to be the person that forces a level of morality on the Indian or other diamond sectors. I am, however, here to say, this is my baby, this RapNet thing. It's subject to American laws, fortunately or unfortunately. And there's an opportunity here. If we can keep RapNet clean, if we can keep RapNet kosher, if we can keep RapNet veggie, then I'll have more customers. I'll have veggie customers. And I believe that the global trend in demand, especially among young women getting engaged and married, especially for the market for certified diamonds, which is the essence of RapNet, those markets are essentially going to be more veggie. There'll be more people that are going to say, I would like to buy a diamond, and I would like to know that it's okay, that it's a veggie diamond, a kosher diamond. And I believe this as a business proposition, irrespective of all of my other, you know, ethical and moral views that I would have, which are personal, but I believe it's a good business to have a vegetarian restaurant in the diamond industry, or a veggie RapNet, so to speak. Now, again, I'm not telling anyone else that's bad. I am trying to create a channel of good. And I'm trying to say, look, everybody, I understand you need to sell your diamonds. I understand you need to do your business. Good luck to you. Do the right thing in your mind. Talk to your rabbis, your gurus, your mothers, whoever you want to talk to. It's your decision. But here's an opportunity for Rapnet to be a good place, a good company, a veggie source of diamonds. Now, there comes questions, can this be done? Is it possible? Can you have a veggie diamond supply chain? Can you have a legitimate kind of a story? Or is it all going to be lies? Everyone's just going to write, oh, you know, my diamonds are fine. They'll sign the paper. They don't even read the English. They don't read the language. They're just going to, everybody's going to basically bluff everybody. Please understand I'm dealing here with laws. I'm dealing here with terrorism laws out of the United States of America, which is a pretty paranoid government. And I don't want to take any chances with me or my company. And these laws say, it's not that I have to prove, we suspended someone from Rapnet last week. And the guy, yeah, prove to me that I did something. I don't have to prove anything. I just have to be suspicious about it. So my standard is a pretty high standard when it comes to Rapnet. Now, what do I want Rapnet members to do? What do I want for my clients, my friends? Two things. First of all, I want you to honestly and reasonably investigate where your diamonds are coming from. Know where your diamonds are coming from. You might say these are unknown diamonds. Okay, then you know these diamonds are unknown diamonds. But ask your supplier. Do your due diligence. Make a proactive effort. Make a positive effort to find out where your diamonds are coming from. Next, separate them. If you have Merengue diamonds, I'm not going to say if you have Merengue diamonds, you can no longer work with Rapnet. I'm not going to throw you off Rapnet because you have Merengue diamonds. However, I'm going to insist that you separate those diamonds and that you don't put Merengue diamonds on the network. You want to sell Merengue diamonds in other networks. You want to sell Merengue diamonds with salesmen in China. I mean, I'm not mixing into your business. I advise you not to, but that's my personal view. I am saying from a business perspective, Rapnet is going veggie. And I ask you, as my friends, as my colleagues in business, help us to keep Rapnet veggie. So if you see someone walking into a veggie restaurant, and you're a Jane, and you see he has a piece of meat, you say, excuse me, 1 minute here, this is a veggie restaurant, all of us eat here. Go to the other restaurant over there, across the street, okay? So I'm really counting on us having a good community. Now this is crazy. Am I, Martin Rappaport, saying that I want to create an honest trading network in the diamond industry? Yes, that's what I'm saying, my friends. I believe in the goodness of the Rapnet members, and I believe that we can actually run an honest trading network where people don't cheat. They don't misrepresent treated diamonds. They don't misrepresent Merengue diamonds. They make an honest effort to make sure of where their diamonds come from. The other thing you have to do is, if you're going to, you know, it's really simple. Investigate, and then when you put your diamonds up, make sure that you can make an honest statement. To the best of my knowledge, these diamonds are kosher. These diamonds are not from Merengue. I know you can't guarantee that every single diamond in the world that you deal with, maybe someone will sneak a diamond through. I understand that. Nothing is perfect. No one is perfect. But you have to make a really honest, decent effort to keep the Rapnet veggie, to keep the rose diamonds out. And if you make the effort, that's what counts. And that's what I'm asking for people. I'm not asking the people to become gods. I'm not asking the people to become, to do something that's not reasonable, to do something that's impossible. What I am asking, though, is I'm reaching out to you as friends, as fellow diamantaires, and I'm saying to you, the basis of the diamond business is our honesty and integrity. If we put Merengue diamonds and we say we're not, maybe tomorrow we're putting in, I don't know, CZ into the melee we sell. CZ you can detect. HPHT, treated fancy colored diamonds or something. So the point here is that Rapnet has to be a community of honest people. And I believe with all my heart and soul that there are honest diamond dealers. And that we should be an honest community. And Rapnet should be a community of honest suppliers and honest retailers. If someone doesn't pay their bills, we throw them off of Rapnet. If someone lists stones and they're not really available and he lies about them, we throw them off Rapnet. If someone lists treated stones without disclosure, we throw them off Rapnet. And the same thing has to happen with these goods here. So what I'm doing here is I'm saying, look guys, I know that we can have the best and the brightest and the most honest trading network in the world. And I may lose members. I may lose money here. Thank God we have today 6,700 companies in 79 countries. And maybe if I put these honesty rules in, people say, Mr. Rappaport, you're crazy, you're an idealist, we don't want to work with you, and we'll lose some clients. And I may lose a lot of money. But you know something? I'm willing to lose money because I believe in the industry. I believe in the people. And I believe that we can have an honest trading network. Now, you know, excuse me if I'm getting so a little bit emotional about this, but understand that that's the essence of the diamond business to me. So, I'm asking everyone, don't first investigate. Investigate. Make the statement to the best of my knowledge after you've investigated. You can't say, I'm not looking, I'm making believe that I'm not even asking anybody. No, you have to do your due diligence and honestly investigate. And then you have to make the statement that to the best of your knowledge, these diamonds are not from Marengue or from other human rights abuses. And then the third thing you have to do is you have to not put these diamonds on the network. And you have to do it in an honest way. Now, we have a lot of ways that we are going to use to do our best. And we're talking about making some serious changes to RAPNET over the next few weeks. Not just because of the Marengue thing. This has been in the works for maybe a year. We're going to make it individuals. Every RAPNET member from now on is going to be an individual. And companies may have 10 or 20 people, but every login is going to be an individual person. I want to know, and we want to know, who are the people, the human beings, who are members of RAPNET. Not some company with some people who come and go, but a physical name of a physical person. The other thing we're going to do is we're going to ban, apparently, all green-tinted diamonds. Now, I know there's some green-tinted diamonds that are not from Marengue. I understand that. And that's one of the problems that we're going to have, is that if we say no green-tinted diamonds, then we may lose the opportunity for people to trade some legitimate green diamonds. But I'm willing to pay that price for the benefit of helping to make sure there are no Marengue diamonds in the system. I also know that in DEFG colors, you don't see the green tint. Sometimes it's a brown tint. And I know that there are other problems and other issues here. And we're going to address them as best as we can. But we have to make the best effort that we can to make sure we're not listing these Marengue diamonds. And that's one change we're going to make. We may also name people. If we find that the people are knowingly putting Marengue diamonds in the system, or they should know that then we're gonna take issue with that. We're gonna exclude them from the network. And finally, we might even be issuing rewards and stuff. We may be taking even more proactive action. But again, I'm not telling any RAPNET member how to run his business. I am telling them on my RAPNET, which is owned by Rappaport, which is an American entity. On this RAPNET, no Marengue diamonds. No diamonds that you know have human rights abuses. And I'm counting on my members to be honest about this thing so that we can, in fact, build this trading network, which is going to be amazing. Because if you think about it, if we can have a veggie network, a lot of companies are going to say, hey, this diamond's on RAPNET, it's worth more money. Because I know that there's some process, there's some effort to keep it clean. We'll get NGO support, maybe, if we do it right. But all of us have to be in this together. This isn't Rappaport against the industry. This is Rappaport with the industry creating a new value-added supply chain that buyers will identify and say, yeah, if you can buy diamonds in the world, go buy from Rappaport. It's much better to buy from them. So this is one piece of information that I wanted to hand out to everybody that they should understand. Now, the challenges that we're confronted will be great. And, you know, it's going to be a process. I may get it wrong. The people are working at Rappaport, and thank God there are about 180 of us. I think there's about 67 people in India alone. They're committed. They believe in the values of Rappaport and of RAPNET. But it's you guys. It's the customers. It's our Indian suppliers. So important. Every one of you. And if I can convince you to work with us on having this veggie network, and we can do this thing right, I'm confident. We'll add value. People will say, that's buying RAPNET. Now, you know, I want to very much emphasize the positive, and I want to very much emphasize the opportunity for people to add value to diamonds. And I definitely, you know, I'm concerned about all these negative news that's coming out. We are We are working very diligently. We are going to be creating all kinds of things together with NGOs, different initiatives that are not RatNet bound, different initiatives. And those initiatives will deal with an ethical pledge and things like that in America and around the world that may not apply to the Indian community. And there'll be something going on there. I also want to say that the standards that we're using, we're going to apply to all Rappaport training areas, which includes anything that we would do with the tenders that we're offering. We will have very high standards. Again, we're going to take any greenish tinge diamonds out of there. We're going to get to know our suppliers really well and make sure that they don't offer merengue diamonds. We may limit some take-in from manufacturers. Most of the trading business that we're doing with the auctions is actually recycled diamonds. We'll investigate that as well. And then we're also going to be looking at this GIA situation. I don't know the position of GIA on this thing fully. I will see what the government, the OFAC people say, what the GIA says. But we'll play it by ear. We'll go step by step. We'll be careful. We don't want to harm the industry in any way. And we don't want to hurt things. What we do want to do is create a clean, comfortable, confident distribution system for diamonds that meet our ethical standards or meet reasonable ethical standards. And I think that this is something that we have to do. I apologize if we're making life difficult for people. I certainly apologize if we're suspending people from the network who feel that we're harming them by doing that. But I do have to draw the line. The diamond markets are being split. They're being forced apart by the legal requirements, by the types of consumers that want a better quality veggie supply chain, and by this fear of reputational risk. This is actually changing the market. And I'm quite confident there's going to be two markets for diamonds. The regular market, and then the market with the more secure or more careful supply chain. And I would point out, you can see that De Beers with their Forever Mark or the Canada Mark, the branding efforts that people are doing, all of these things are happening. And RatNet will be an opportunity for people to at least raise their level of that branding to some degree, but saying, okay, my diamonds at least are in a network which is being more careful. One final point, it is our intention to establish a Rappaport ethical certificate in the Indian market, in Surat, perhaps Mumbai as well, where we will follow the diamond from the mine, from the invoice, from the actual physical rough coming into the factory, through the factory production process using barcodes, so we actually see every step that's taken to transform the rough into polished, straight through to the certificate, probably GIA certificates. And then what Rappaport will do and say, this certificate number 1234, we follow the diamond from rough to polished, it's a veggie diamond, it's a kosher diamond, it's an ethical diamond with the Rappaport ethical certificate. So what we're going to do here is not to say, well, don't list merengue on RatNet, but we're also going to make efforts to add value to diamonds that can have a clearly defined and understood chain. Of course, those are better diamonds because they've actually been monitored from the rough. We can't expect all diamonds to go through that, but it wouldn't work for Melly. It only really worked for the certificate goods, but it's a firm step in the right direction. So I've tried to explain myself here as best as I can, and I think that I'm open for questions now. I know it's an emotional issue for a lot of people. It directly affects their pocketbook. I want to tell you, it affects mine too. But we will work together to create RatNet as a really amazing best diamond trading network in the world. And that's what I believe in, and that's what I think our team at Rappaport believes in as well. So let's open it up for questions. I do have a few questions here, so I'm going to read them out, and I'm going to try to answer them. These were questions that were emailed in to us. I understand they're from Alyssa, who collected them. How would RatNet differentiate merengue diamonds? Well, good question. The truth of the matter is, it's very difficult to differentiate merengue diamonds in polished. We have to trust the relationships with the different suppliers. We have to develop a system of communicating with the different RatNet members. We have ways to do some very interesting things that I can't disclose that will monitor people who are trying to put merengue diamonds on the system. We are taking the exceptional effort of actually banning all green tinted diamonds from
the Rapton environment. Like I said before, not all green diamonds are from Marengue, and not all Marengue diamonds are green. But still, it does account for a very large proportion of those diamonds. And essentially, we're going to get down to the bottom line of having a trust relationship with suppliers. And, you know, I think that one of the biggest points that we need to make is that we're asking suppliers to make an affirmative statement. A lot of times what happens in the diamond industry, it's like, don't ask, don't tell. So I didn't ask you where it came from, I didn't tell you, nobody lied to anybody, and we just slipped it through. The big thing that Rapnet is doing is it's saying to all the people who put diamonds on Rapnet, you have to make a statement. If you're going to put a Marengue diamond on Rapnet, you have to be a liar. You have to say, it's not Marengue when you know it is. And I, again, come back and say that we're going to be able to trust the people of the diamond industry. Because, look, if people are going to lie about Marengue, they're going to lie about treated stones, they're going to lie about all kinds of business deals that they would do. And that's a problem. So I believe that we have to clean the system up and make sure that we're honest about everything. Even when people list diamonds for sale now, we're putting in more policing efforts. So it's going to be based on the quality of the people on the network, with a lot of effort by Rappaport to make affirmative, positive statements from suppliers that they know the goods. Next question. How can I detect Marengue diamonds if one was mixed in parcels of goods? Well, look for the green U. And if it's mixed in a parcel of goods, you've got a problem. The Rapnet problem isn't there so much, because a Rapnet, it's really all certified diamonds and individual stones. But if you're buying a parcel of diamonds, you've got to try to check and know your supplier, because, again, look for the green, but it's a serious problem. You can't be sure. By the way, you know, I see people buying parcels of Meli, fancy yellow Meli, and there's no way that every one of those 10-pointers can be sent to the GIA for HPHT evaluation. So, essentially, you have to have a relationship with your supplier and trust them, and you have to look for the greenish U, and I think those are all you can do with parcels. Please deliver the knowledge of how to know whether diamond listed are Marengue diamonds. Okay, this is from Vietnam, actually. Again, we're going to try our best to establish the supplier's knowledge. And also, if anyone in the system sees a supplier is listing Marengue diamonds, they're going to start, you know, other suppliers should start saying, hold it, why are those diamonds so cheap? I mean, it's very funny. When I look at Rapnet and I see that diamonds are selling for 25 and then there's a bunch of diamonds for 35 below, you know, the Marengue diamonds, they pretty much stick out there, at least right now. So all those suppliers were saying, one minute here, if the market's at 25, why are you there? And then we say, oh, it's a greenish tinge or this or that. So, you know, how do you know where the diamonds listed on Marengue diamonds? Know your supplier. And if you have questions, talk to us. Rappaport will investigate. We will make the time. We will call the suppliers. We will re-talk to them. And we will do our best to make sure that we communicate with suppliers about their need not to list Marengue diamonds. And, you know, because a lot of people now, they think if I have a KP certificate, it's okay, no problem. And I need to explain to everybody in the nicest possible way that just because you have a KP certificate does not in any way ensure that the diamonds are okay as far as Rapnet concerns. It doesn't. Marengue diamonds are getting KP certificates, and they're illegal to import into the United States because of OFAC regulations. So, you know, KP certificates, I guess you got to keep the KP rules, but they are not sufficient. They're a necessary condition to trade diamonds. They're certainly not sufficient as far as Rappaport is concerned because they don't relate to human rights. So, no Marengue diamonds and no diamonds that you have reason to know, are involved in human rights abuses or come from Marengue.
Yes, sir. All right, thanks for the speech, Mr. Rappaport. Well, I need to ask,
can you please just identify yourself, who you are and what firm you're from?
Yeah, well, I'm calling from KGK Diamonds, India Private Limited.
Okay.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead, KGK, yes.
All right. So I just want to ask, let's suppose, as you know, India being a very big country, there are n number of people who are Rapnet members now. So let's say, as for the big players in the market, they are doing all the work with a positive note and to avoid Marengue diamond in India as well. So let's say if somebody tries to frame, and let's say somebody tries to go to Rappaport saying that I bought a stone from X company, saying that X company challenged me that the stone is not a green, not a Marengue diamond, but I think saying that the stone is a green one, like the Milan diamond. So in that case, what's going to be the step of rubber boat?
Well, the first thing is, if you really don't know and you suspect, and the words of the U.S. government, if you have reason to know or reason to suspect, mm-hmm. just don't put it on wrap then. Now, if there's a problem, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to talk to you. Because we believe every RapNet member is like a brother and sister.
Exactly.
We look at you not as people to be oppressed and people to be pushed at. We look at you as family. And that's what RapNet has to be. RapNet has to be a family of honest people who understand what we're doing, okay? And they do their best, and they watch each other. And if you see someone else is putting on, you let us know. We're not going to go and tell your name that so-and-so said that you did this. We're going to go. We're going to talk to them. We're going to explain. We're going to monitor them. We're going to spend thousands of dollars on connecting with people, monitoring people, talking to people, until we can get this thing really right. But it's going to be from a good space. Now, again, if the person does it repeatedly, okay, then we're just going to suspend them from the system and publish their name.
Okay, that's great. Okay, and one more last question. Let's say Mirage Diamond was very much in the news these days. So let's say when Mirage Diamond is going to be open in the market of India and other Asian countries, so in that case, well, many people are going to have Mirage Diamonds with them, and then they're going to polish it, and then they're going to submit the stone to IGI, to GIA. So is there any certificate or is there any something new which GIA is going to come up with, adding into the certificate, yeah, that the stone is not a Mirage Diamond or something, but testing something like the something?
I honestly don't know, and I can't speak for the GIA here. I can say that the GIA's position heretofore until now is they cannot 100% verify if a stone does or does not come from Marengue, or if it's involved in human rights abuses in the Congo or someplace, for that matter. The key issue here is going to be that we're going to ask all laboratories to please include the tint, green, brown, whatever, on the certificate. I think that this will help people. It's not a guarantee. Nothing is perfect here. But I think it's a strong step in the right direction, and I'm going to be asking all the laboratories to put the tint on there. And we ourselves, I've given clear instructions to our trading teams. Anything green doesn't pass through us. And we have, I think, a tender taking place today. Today's Monday, but Monday. And I can tell you that the people in our office are poking their eyes out looking for green stones right now. They're taking...
All right.
But separate them. But the big point to you is, please, if you don't know, simply don't put it on wrap then.
All right. That's great. No, because as far as KG concerned, because strictly we have all the KP certificate for the diamond, so at least a company like us, we don't have to bother for all these things because we have a strict norms with the diamond, so we are working with a very proper and ethical manner. So as far as our concern, we don't have any issues. I'm just asking about the general market,
Sure, I understand. But do understand, KP certificate alone is not sufficient.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Well, the caller that just got unmuted now, please identify yourself and ask your question.
I'm from the Sikh. Can we build
Okay, I didn't hear that exactly, but I'm sure there are... But if people need translation, we can also provide it. We can have Manish or someone translate.
I can speak in English. I'm a jeweler in India. Hello?
Yes.
My question is, I'm an end jeweler, a retailer in India. The thing is, hello?
Yes, I'm hearing you.
The thing is, the problem what we face is, customers walk into a store telling that their ex-jeweler is selling diamonds cheaper than you. But when we try to explain them that these are Mirage diamonds, they say that show it on the certificate. If it's not on the certificate, we are not going to take your bullshit. So I think the responsibility of the laboratories to mention something on the certificate which will support our justification that if the diamond is very cheap, you should talk about the source of the diamond. So at the end, to explain to a layman, there should be something mentioned in the certificate which will show that the source is not right. I guess GI, the top laboratories, should mention something about the Marangiti in the certificates.
Well, first of all, thank you very much. And I think you're pointing out a very important thing, which is the economic incentive for veggie diamonds, or the economic incentive to differentiate the merengue from the non-merengue. What we're seeing is, I don't know if it's because the supply of diamonds is large, if it's sold much cheaper in rough than, say, the Russian goods or the Beers goods or the BHP goods, whatever the story is. But it appears that the merengue diamonds are the number three source of diamonds in the world right now. There's a lot of them, and they're cheap. And so people want to protect themselves, because otherwise all diamond prices keep coming down, okay? So there is this competition coming up from the merengue diamonds, which means we have to try to find a way to differentiate them. Now, one way to differentiate them would be if the laboratories, in fact, could do what you ask. And, you know, we had this problem with treated diamonds, and the laboratories invested a lot of money, and they will tell you if a diamond is treated, and so the price we get for our diamonds today are higher than the price that you would get for treated diamonds. So we understand that. But here, with the merengue story, they are not treated, and the laboratories right now don't know how to tell you and solve the problem. So I think what we need is an alternative system where you can guarantee, or you can give the consumer a promise, this is not a merengue diamond. Maybe a letter from your jewelry store, like a brand that you say. Now, one of the things that we're going to be doing, like I said before, is we're going to start monitoring some diamonds from the source, in which case you will have a Rappaport ethical certificate. It'll be available as a copy. It'll be available on the internet. People will be able to say, I know this diamond came from a legitimate source. And then we're going to come up with a marketing campaign from that to differentiate it. But this problem that you are now confronting is a very serious problem for almost everybody in the industry. When we look at Rappaport and we see those stones at a lot cheaper prices, very often we have reason to suspect the merengue, which is why I'm making this phone call now, which is why I'm starting to police the system, because I'm very concerned. So I don't have an immediate answer with regards to the laboratories, because I don't think the laboratories are capable, at least they tell me, they're not capable of differentiating by looking at a diamond. What we can do is we can create a more responsible supply chain of suppliers who make the promise, we can police it a little bit with Rappaport and a lot more with the ethical certification, so we can differentiate these diamonds. But it's going to be a process, and it's going to take some time. And you need to look at your customer in the eye and say, look, you want to buy them a merengue? Now, I don't suggest you sell merengue diamonds. But you say, we don't sell merengue diamonds. And or if you do sell them, offer to them at a cheap price. But my view would be to say, we are selling a better diamond. Trust me. I've asked my supplier. And that's what we're selling.
But if a laboratory like GA, if they issue a newsletter showing the symptoms of the merengue diamond in papers and mass media, I think this will make the end customers more aware of there is something like trans diamonds circulated in the market, and they should not buy those kind of a diamond, and they should discourage buying those kind of a diamond. I guess a laboratory can issue a newsletter in mass media, in newspapers, that these diamonds have these symptoms of slightly greenish tinge, and please don't. I guess that would be an initiative by the laboratories they can do, so that it will help us to convince our customers that you should not go in for any diamonds which are very cheap and which have a green tint to it.
I agree with you, and I think that's an excellent idea, and I will communicate this idea to the laboratories as well. Pooja Saval, please make a note of this, and I will send a letter to the laboratories. I was thinking about this myself. I said earlier that they should actually write on the certificate the tint, but I think this idea of explaining to people some standards, some ways, some gemological explanation of looking at diamonds, and at least being able to have an idea if they're not merengue or something, I'll ask them to see what they can communicate gemologically, and I think that that's a good idea.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. If there's anybody else who has a question, please press 01 on your telephone now. Hello? Well, the caller has just been unmuted. Please identify yourself and ask your question. Yeah, my name is Rajiv. I'm a jeweler based in Bombay. I have one a basic principle question to ask. Why did the KPE committee approve Marenge diamonds and diamonds from Zimbabwe when the committee consists of members from US and other developed countries, and then creates so much of a understructure to try and then control it subsequently? Why can't the process be stopped at the source by the KPE process itself, which was the case so far?
Okay, let me answer that one. You know, it's interesting. I'm one of the few people you could probably talk to who actually was in Kimberley when we started the thing, and I actually wrote part of the Kimberley process rules. We were in 2000, and I was actually in Sierra Leone in the middle of a war, and it was terrible. I mean, I was in the amputee camp. I saw 5,000-6,000 people without limbs. I saw dogs eating bodies in the street. That's how bad it was. It was terrible. Now, we got together with the governments, and we created a Kimberley process that was very narrowly defined. It was defined that any rebel groups against governments, these rebel groups that are against governments, if the United Nations Security Council embargoed a country based on the rebel groups, then this control system of exporting and importing diamonds would immediately take effect. And in fact, after much hassles with the United Nations, Liberia was embargoed, and Taylor did not get any more money from the Sierra Leone diamonds. And one of the reasons, I think one of the main reasons the war stopped in Sierra Leone, was because of this a ban and embargo on those diamonds. Because before that time, the diamonds were being mined by all these people. Taylor was getting the diamonds, getting the money, and then he was getting more people to mine, and it was a very bad thing. Now, at the Kimberley Process meetings, I and some of the other people in the NGO said, please include human rights. Please include situations where people are violence, people are all kinds of problems with people, but even serious human rights violations, where people are murdered or raped or enslaved and stuff like that. And there was a firm agreement among the governments not to include this. No government wanted to allow another government to say or to control their imports or exports of diamonds based on human rights abuses. And they said that this was a sovereignty issue. Africans don't want Americans telling them how they have to behave to export their diamonds. And Americans didn't want Africans saying, you guys are doing extrajudicial bombings in wherever it is, in Afghanistan, and you're not operating according to the laws, so we're going to ban your diamonds. Okay? So this idea of human rights is not incorporated in the international law in general. It's not in the World Trade Organization, which we had to get a waiver for to get the Kimberley process implemented. And so human rights was never built into the definition of conflict diamonds, and it was never built into the Kimberley process. Now, unfortunately, for many years, the diamond industry tried to take a free ride on the Kimberley process to imply that if a diamond has a Kimberley process certificate, it was also not involved in human rights abuses. And this is a false thing. If you go to the diamondfacts.org website, you'll see it talks about non-conflict diamonds as if these things are 100% no problem. Where in fact, non-conflict diamonds simply means that a rebel group and the United Nations has agreed to embargo them is not involved in those diamonds. In the case of Zimbabwe, you have a situation where government troops and police were killing their own people, so there's no rebel group, and the United Nations Security Council absolutely refuses to embargo or take any action against Zimbabwe because of politics. So the bottom line is that the Kimberley process is incapable of addressing something it wasn't designed to deal with. It's sort of like a car doesn't fly, or if you deal with the American, worldwide AIDS campaign, they don't cure heart attacks, you know, they don't cure cancer, they just cure AIDS. So the Kimberley process is very focused, very narrow, and unfortunately it has been misrepresented. Due to its government makeup and the fact that all decisions by the Kimberley process require 100% consent of all parties, it is never going to solve the problem of human rights. Zimbabwe would have to vote themselves out, literally.
So, you know, the idea that the Kimberley process will address issues of human rights is just a bankrupt idea. Why the United States government, who abstained in the certification of Erengi Diamonds, wants to have the Kimberley process chair to fix the world, I think that they are irresponsible idealists, in the sense that they think that maybe they can convince other governments to implement human rights controls. But I think it's a sad mistake, and I think that no matter what governments do, we in the diamond industry have to take responsibility for what we buy and sell, and we in the diamond industry have to create these better markets where our customers can sleep at night and can feel that they're buying a diamond, not involved in any, you know, regular human rights situations. Sorry to talk so much, but.
Right. Thank you very much. There's another caller who has a quick question. Will the caller that may be unmuted now please identify yourself?
Hello.
Yes, please go ahead.
About this culprit from Kijik again. Well, I just want to ask you one more thing. Once when the Miran Diamond will be open for the Asian and other countries, so in that case, the countries who are going to have Miran Diamonds, and when they're going to send or export the diamonds to America, so will there be any additional or some requirements that they need to fulfill while exporting to the customers in America?
I think that the export of diamonds to America, Erengi diamonds, is highly problematic. One of the standards that we are going to implement in RAPNIT, most of the things we're talking about today are simply the diamonds. So I say to you, listen, if you manufacture Erengi diamonds and you manufacture non-Erengi diamonds, please, the diamonds that you put in RAPNIT, don't mix them up with the Erengi diamonds. So I'm not going to go and tell you how you have to run your business. However, I am going to require, probably, we have to talk about this, a standard by where if someone is selling a treated diamond, they have to disclose it's a treated diamond. And if someone is selling an American Erengi diamond, they have to tell him, my dear friend, this is a Erengi diamond, it's not for you. In other words, you can't set up an American guy to get investigated. Because here's the problem if you do that. If you sell Erengi diamonds to Americans, A, the American can get into trouble because he's supposed to ask you very clearly, where do these diamonds come from? And if you say, I don't know, again, the standard used by the U.S. government to me, in a letter to me, was reason to know. That means that the American has to take reasonable efforts to verify the source of the diamonds. So number one, you'd get the American guy in trouble. The other thing is that if you persist in doing it, you may find yourself in the American OFAC blacklist, like the Madaba mine, because you're dealing with these guys. Now, I don't control the blacklist. I don't know what these American guys are doing. I mean, they're their own government guys. They're dealing with terrorism. They're dealing with all kinds of stuff. And they're dealing with presidential decrees. So, I don't know. But all I can say is that I don't believe that it's ethical to sell a treated diamond without disclosure. And I don't think it's ethical to sell an American or European and Erengi diamond without disclosure. You got to tell the guy, these are Erengi diamonds, they're not for you. And there's a lot of non-Erengi diamonds in the world. So 20% of the diamonds don't make it to America. They're cheaper. And let them sell them wherever you can sell them legally. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I think we have to make this differentiation of supply chains, and we have to stick with it. Or else we're going to get the Americans all upset, we're going to get ourselves upset, and we're going to lose the opportunity to make added value. Look, if you don't keep a higher price for the... If you don't separate Erengi from non-Erengi diamonds, let's just talk business. Forget about ethics, forget about legal. I mean, God forbid, I don't mean we should forget about ethics or legal, but let's set aside the ethical and legal arguments, which are extremely strong, and I believe in them 100%. Let's just talk business. If you want to create a world where diamond prices do not go down to the Erengi level, you bloody well have to differentiate your product. Branding 101. Okay?
Yeah.
And RAPNIT's trying to do that. Kill me for it. RAPNIT's one of the...
Mr. Martin.
Yeah.
What do you point?
All right. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Let me conclude here, and I imagine that this will be recorded. This is being recorded. It will be going out there. I really want to say,
first of all,
you are my friends. You are my members. You are my clients. You are my people. You are my diamanteros.
Okay.
And I am pleading that we should work together.
Yes, as you say.
We should have a sense of commitment to having one channel that's veggie. One channel that we can put out there. Now, I know people will try to cheat and try to sneak. And I don't want the people to feel, oh, it's Martin Rappaport's problem, or it's the Rappaport team's problem, or Saville, Stern, or Pooja's problem. It's all of our problem. if we can work together and stand up and have a really honest, straight, good community of people in RapNet, what a wonderful thing it would be. And it'll go across the board, not just Merengue. I mean, this Merengue thing, you know, it's terrible, and, you know, but it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity for us to stand up above this and to create a community of honest, straight, good, fantastic diamond people that will hold a standard to ourselves. And I think that this is an opportunity for us to really step up and, you know, to be up to diamonds. Our diamonds are fantastic. It's the best product in the world, I think. And it's emotional, and it's durable, and it's a store of value, and it's got everything going for it. If we can add the human component, if we are as good as our diamonds, and if we can create a network that really transcends the problems of human rights, transcends the problems of Merengue, and people can trust us because we're really honest internally, then I think we've done something fantastic. And we've turned a negative, we've turned a challenge into an opportunity. Thank you all very much.
Mr. Epwood, we do have two more people who would like to ask questions. You want to take these last?
Sure.
Well, the call that's unmuted now, please state your name and your question.
I'm Lalit calling up from Chennai, India. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Very good afternoon, sir. I would just slightly like to deviate from the actual topic of Merengue diamonds. There's another concern as a jeweler that I would like to address, and probably that would be a concern of every jeweler right now in the country or world over who's dealing in diamonds. So in last 6 to 8 months, the diamond industry is in a phenomenal upswing or downswing, or quite a volatility as far as the prices are concerned. So what is the actual reason behind these volatility in prices, sudden volatility in prices in the product, which was supposed to be so firm in prices, supposed to have a very steady growth, supposed not to be volatile in nature, and which is causing a great concern for the jewelers and for the end consumers? Is it because of the inflow of these lower quality diamonds into the market, or what is the actual reason for it? Because since we consider Rapaport as a bible for the prices in diamonds, we would, I think this would be a question in every jeweler's mind right now, or every dealer's in mind right now. What is the main reason for the prices to get so volatile all of a sudden in diamonds?
Well, first, thank you very much, and that is an excellent question. Number one is that the diamond prices reflect external economic forces, somewhat like gold to some degree. In other words, it's not like gold exactly, but when you see economic expansion in China, for example, or in India, and you see that these things are happening, nothing to do with the diamond business, nothing to do with the mines, nothing to do with the inventory, not much with inventory, a little bit of inventory, but not to do with your store or something. This is an expansion. There are more people willing to buy diamonds, so the diamond prices will go up. And as the diamonds go up, sometimes they get a little kicked, because the mining companies then hold them back a little, some people speculate, and so once they start to go up, sometimes they go up more than they should because of speculation and holding back of supplies and people thinking it'll go up more if I don't sell, then it'll go up more tomorrow. So there is this external economic force coupled with this behavioral economic story where people try to at least squeeze certain types of diamonds, larger diamonds, 3-carat, is a good example of that. And then the prices shoot up more than they would normally shoot up because of those factors. Now, then things change. Look what happened to the rupee. I mean, if we're going to talk about Indian jewelry and Indian industry, look what happened to the rupee. In local terms, diamond prices, in dollar terms, you know, so we trade in the diamond business in dollars, the rupee price of diamonds has gone up significantly over the past few months, weeks. And therefore, diamonds are more expensive, therefore people may buy less of them, in dollar terms. So it's reasonable, if India is in fact a very strong buyer of diamonds, then what we see is some kind of a fall in the prices, which is natural, and I would even say it's healthy, because that's how the markets clear up. Now, here too, what happens is that you have a couple of very powerful mining companies that are looking at the game, and they try to keep the prices high, and then the dealers and the manufacturers get squeezed in the middle of the game,
And, you know, what you're going to see is these external forces, I would define them, certainly the value of currency, economic growth and expansion. China is now relatively quiet, although it's still strong. The United States is definitely not in a great shape, so I don't see any growth there. Europe is totally messed up. But even so, we are going to see this movements of these factors, currency factors, growth, GDP growth factors, interest rate. We saw that the squeeze on diamond prices in India that took place before last year's August show and continued had a lot to do with liquidity. Now, the Bank of India has just, the Reserve Bank of India has just announced that they're going to be easing, which probably is an inflationary problem, but they're going to be easing their credit rules, and that might make it easier, and the price of diamonds may therefore go up a little bit. So, you know, I wouldn't believe that anyone can control the price of diamonds. The Rappaport price list has not moved a lot because we are providing a benchmark price. So people, the discounts have certainly gone from, say, 5 below sometimes to even 20 below, or even 25 below sometimes. Then we haven't gone down with the list to go so close to the changes in the market, but we have included the RapNet price list with the with the Rappaport price list now when you get the email, and if you're even if you're not a RapNet member, so look at the RapNet price list, and there you can see the movements up and down almost on a daily basis, certainly on a weekly basis. So don't expect diamonds to defy economic gravity. Diamonds will perform. They will have like the ocean tides. They will come and they will go. Expect this kind of variability, and also expect diamonds to perform in an interesting way when it is shocked or when it is pushed by external economic forces. There is some protection from the mining companies that reduce the supply of rough when they think prices may come down. That's a factor that you want to consider. And there's also an opportunity when inflation hits. I believe that India will probably have a pretty robust inflationary cycle coming up. We've seen inflation this year at about 8%. I think it might actually get out of hand. I'm not a big believer, I mean, with the corruption scandals that we're seeing in India, with some of the other problems we're seeing in India, I think that things are a little bit not so in control. And we might see a significant inflation, and that's going to drive demand for gold and for diamonds and for other assets that people can put their hands onto. But let's wait and see how the things develop. But don't put your trust that diamond prices will never, go up or down. It's just a... like gold. If gold can go up and down, certainly diamonds can. And recognize that diamonds are like a ping pong ball in the economic ocean of change in the world around us. They do float. They do float like a ping pong ball would float, and they ride the waves. But there can be some pretty exhilarating rides up and down. And just keep your eyes open. And don't look at the diamonds and see what price you could always sell them and buy them. I'm very much for creating a good efficient market for these diamonds, particularly the certified diamonds.
Can I ask another question, sir?
Certainly.
So, I can't think about another person who can be a better analyst for diamonds in the world but for you. There's just one small question which is short and crisp. If HPHT diamonds, or synthetic diamonds, are produced in mass in the future, what do you see the future of the natural diamonds? Is the sale going to go down? Are the prices going to be affected? What would be the net effect of the mass production of synthetic diamonds, sir?
Well, I would say that here I refer to it as the three Ds, okay? Detection, then disclosure, and differentiation. And let me explain. The first point of detection is if we cannot detect the difference between HPHT diamonds and regular diamonds, then the price of diamonds will pretty much fall to the price of the synthetic diamonds. Now, I believe that the science that usually creates things, also with it comes the science of detecting them. And so we're always able to have such a race between creating a new treatment and checking it. And we see that with money, with paper currency. Look how paper currency has changed. So people used to counterfeit it. We see it with a lot of other products in the world. And by the way, one of the ways of detection goes right back to the merengue issue, where you follow the diamond from the rough to the polished, and then you know where it came from, and then you know that it's not treated because you actually monitor it. But detection is the first
rule that we have to have. No detection, and we really get messed up on the price. Yes, detection, and then we differentiate the product like you would cubic zirconia or moissanite or treated diamonds like you're talking about. Notice, there is a value to the authenticity of the product. What the GIA and other laboratories do, they essentially authenticate the product and say it's not treated. But besides the detection, we have to have disclosure. If jewelers lie to their customers and put these treated diamonds up there and tell them that it's natural, and if people lie about them a lot, because it's a weird product, you know, the guy goes into the store and he buys this diamond, this yellow diamond, and he gives it to his girlfriend. And he doesn't tell her that it's a treated diamond. He's not going to tell her. She comes back to the jeweler 10 years, 5 years, and then she's very disappointed. But the point here is disclosure. If the jewelry industry is honest, then there's a good chance that we can differentiate those diamonds and separate them, and then they don't have effect on the natural diamonds. And it's similar to the story with meringue. If we can differentiate the diamonds, then we can get the higher price. If we can't differentiate them, we can't. So it's really technology necessary for detection, and then it's the honesty and the integrity of the diamond industry to disclose the fact, and that'll give us this differentiation. And you'll see branding. For example, there's brands out there that sell products, and you trust the brand to know that the product is the original or the good quality. Like, say your car breaks, so you know you could buy a spare part somewhere, but you may go back to the Ford or the whatever, the Tata company, whoever's selling the car, and say, give me an original part. Okay?
Right, sir.
So that's the idea.
That's an excellent solution to the problem that I had. And so the basic thing is, if you cannot detect a synthetic diamond, that means the prices of the diamonds are in doldrums.
Yes, but I don't think we'll ever get to the point where you can't detect it. For the same reason...
Because I just need to quote... I just read it somewhere that GE had produced a few diamonds where the diamonds were not being able to be detected by GIA. So... there could be technology which could be a little more, because very frankly speaking, the kind of R&D that the companies are getting into is far more than the R&D that the diamond industry do. So there could be a possibility that they might get into making a product which is a little more superior than what the diamond industry R&D is getting into. So that is a greater possibility of the synthetic diamond being very close to natural diamonds, sir.
Look, let me say this. There's always some kind of a strange risk. But look what happened with cultural pearls. Cultured pearls came up, took over the majority of the business because very few natural pearls were around. But again, with technology, you can detect natural pearls and they're worth a fortune. Look at the painting, the Picassos or the fine paintings that you see around the world, which you sell for 50, 30, 180, I don't know, all kinds of millions of dollars at Sotheby's and Christie's. Again, the value of some of these products are so high that it does pay for experts to be able to detect them. I also pointed out the ability to trace the diamond from the mine in some kind of an audited fashion. So I don't really believe that synthetic diamonds is the greatest risk that we face, or even a big risk. Treated diamonds are more complicated, frankly, to be able to detect. I would say, though, that sometimes the most important piece of information in the GIA certificate may very well be the date. And this works both ways. If you have an old date on the certificate, then you know the stone was graded before the new treatments came in, and that's a comforting thought. So when you have a diamond and you have an old certificate, keep the old certificate. The other thing is that there's a race between, say, the GIA and some of these people making these synthetics. So if you right now the level of GIA may or may not be to be able to detect, in 6 months or a year they'll probably be able to detect. This becomes a very big problem because... can you imagine you buy a diamond, it has a GIA certificate, everything's fine, you resubmit it to the laboratory a year from now, or half a year, and I'm not just talking about GIA, say any laboratory, and then they say, well, we have a new technology, and we now detect that the stone is treated, or the stone is synthetic. So, you know, this risk does stand there, which is why I go back to what I said today. We have to create a trust relationship among the people in the diamond industry. Because if you are going to buy a diamond and you don't trust the person selling it to you, and you know, and you don't know its source, you're just picking it off the street, it's a question. It could be poisoned. It could be, I don't know, human rights abuse. It could be synthetic. I don't know. And I think that as the industry develops, the trust factor is going to become more and more of an issue. And we're going to have secure supply chains. And maybe one of the reasons is synthetics. But whatever it is, we will find a way to authenticate the diamond one way or the other, because they're bloody valuable, these things. So I think there'll be a lot of effort to really monitor.
Thank you so much, sir. Thank you so much. Hello?
Yes.
Thank you so much, sir.
Sure, thank you.
Okay, we have no more questions that have come in from the participants. We have one question that's come in by email, which says, do you think that by enforcing stricter norms, this will affect the pricing of diamonds?
Well, yes, I think that came up for discussion here with the KGK people as well. Yeah, I think that if we can create an honest network which offers non-merengue diamonds with a high level of assurance, people will pay more for those diamonds. So, yeah, I think so. I think that there are many young women that are getting an engagement ring that want a certain level of assurance. That this diamond is not involved with merengue. And they don't care if they pay a little bit more money. They certainly don't care if their fiancé pays a little bit more money. You know, we're dealing with an emotional product here. There's a lot more to the diamond than its price. If people didn't want to pay more for diamonds, we would never have excellent cuts. We just have very good cuts. The fact is that I think people want to pay more for a better diamond. And when I say better diamond, I don't just mean the size, and I don't just mean the cuts, the brilliance. You know, maybe it's time to start selling spiritual sparkle, you know, like fair trade. You know, maybe it's time to start selling the idea that this is a really good diamond, it's a veggie, it's a kosher diamond. And I think if we market that, the women want it. That's what they want. The woman wants to get an engagement ring and then have questions about where it came from. And don't forget, you can have the NGOs out here. Global Witness broke off from the Kimberley process. And they're an advocacy NGO. And so you're going to find some NGOs out there saying to consumers, ask where your diamond came from. And they'll be on CNN, and they'll be doing all these campaigns, and movie stars will be doing this. So this trend towards social responsibility and consumerism is a very strong, powerful trend that's sweeping through the world. And it's in everything. It's in the cars that we buy. It's in the recycled paper. It's you name it. And so social responsibility is essentially, it's a dollar sign. It's a value. It's worth money. And so if we can position our diamonds to be that way, then I think we're going to make more money. And don't forget about all the branding houses. No branding house wants to be subject to an attack by an NGO that they're selling merengue or problematic diamonds. So I think that it's worth their sleeping. The board of directors of a lot of these companies would like to sleep better at night. And if they can spend a little more money, then they will do that and get diamonds that they're more secure with. So yes, I believe that if we do this thing right, only if we do it right, and we do it honestly, and we police each other as a family, I think we're going to be in pretty good shape here. And we will get a higher premium price for rapid diamonds and certainly for ethically certified diamonds and eventually even fair trade diamonds.
Okay, I think that should wrap it up. Thank you very much, Mr. Rappaport. Is there anything you want to say just to close off the conversation?
I just want to thank everyone for having the patience to hear me out, those that are still around, and that we will be in touch with everyone and we'll be communicating with everyone. And everyone, look, I want to thank our staff in India. Hello? Whoa. Something bad happening. I want to thank our staff in India. I want to thank Pooja. I want to thank all our team. And I want to encourage our RapNet members all around the world to call us, talk to us, communicate with us. We're here. We're your friends. We're your family. Thank you all very much.